Hello, friends. Welcome to this month's episode of the Empowered Together Network. I am here with dear friends, my co-founders Alina Z in LA, Cynthia De Lorenzi, amazing in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I'm in Northern Virginia, and we are joined by four of our friends who are around the country as well. Paula Petri, PhD, she is in California. Helen Leonard is here with me in Northern Virginia. Alex, you're in the Eastern
Kind of,
Shore.
yep, Eastern Shore, Maryland.
Right, and Alpha Tate O'Neill, amazing artist, author, all the Hollywood things. She is also here in Northern Virginia. So we welcome you tonight. We were to have a guest from Norway to lead us, Kristin of the Wind Foundation, but it's 1 a.m. there. So we're just going to record like we always do as women. We just roll with it. So tonight we're going to throw it. Let's throw it over to Alina first. Cynthia, ask your question because Alina had great insight. So let's open it up to the group.
Yeah, it was really interesting because this has been, I was really looking forward to 2026 being a new year, the year of the fire horse. We actually did a program and talked about it, but I've been facing ever since January. I lost my husband just a few months ago, and since then, just major things have been going in my life and not positive. I had to replace a huge wall in my house in my bedroom. Replaced three windows, which is not, I mean, huge windows in my bedroom. And that took months to do. And I was just yesterday finished that project. And my swimming pool, the water was so bad. I don't know what happened because I had the pool closed. And they said it's going to be cheaper to empty your pool and refill it than it is to try to get it in chemical balance again. And when you live in the desert, that is devastating to take out water and put water in a pool, but they said that was what we should do. So I just finished that. And I was asking Lena. Lena is one person, both Hope and Lena are people I often go to when I'm going, okay, explain to me in the universal spiritual world what is happening. And Alina is just so gifted at that. And so Alina, I jumped in and asked you, and you were sharing some positive news for me. I'm going to count on this to be true. So share with everybody what's coming.
So I actually wanted to say something to you, Cynthia, really quickly because it's also made me a little giggly because you had the flood, the water coming down, and you have to replace the windows and you have to replace the water. In 2021, when I had the same exact astrological aspect that you were having, like exactly the same one, I had a flood. I had a huge flood, also water, and I was just struggling. And I remembered, I realized that feminine energy thrives in uncertainty because it's when uncertainty we can create something. So I would remind myself, I love uncertainty. I love uncertainty. I was like, I don't know where I'm gonna live. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I love uncertainty. I love uncertainty. I hate uncertainty. I love uncertainty. And I feel like right now, this is something to empower all of us, not just you, but being in that state of, you know what, it is what it is. And I'm gonna just flow with it. God gave me this flood. God gave me this pool problem. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe there's some gift in it, and I'm going to choose to not go against the whole entire universe that conspired in this challenge and just flow with it. And I tell people, you know, the difference, there's actually very little difference between a hero and a victim. Very little difference. The difference is that they both have challenges, but the hero decides to, well, you know what? Maybe the challenge is a gift, and I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to create a journey. But the victim stays with the challenge. So I feel like moving the water, moving the energy, and with the end of Uranus and Taurus, you pass your exam of big hardships. But for all of us, for no matter where we are, the next 10 days are going to be bumpy for everybody. So I'm just sharing the wisdom of, you know, staying together, remembering that there's a lot of power in empowered together. Those are the two words, because we know when we talk, time goes faster, we get inspired, we raise our energy. And right now it's going to be so, you'll see it, how your energy creates your world more than ever before. You will see how it creates it. So for us, when we see challenges in the next 10 days, just go with it. Think of it, okay, well, poop is really a fertilizer. How can it fertilize me? And then grow from that. And also know that it is supposed to happen, whatever it is. And if we keep shining our light, and that is, I don't know if you ladies are spiritual or religious, Well, I'm not Christian, but I know Jesus taught about being the light. And it's not about praying to not have challenges, but it's about the experience of having a challenge and still keeping the light. Like that's the practice of it. And you cannot have the practice of being the light. So this is our challenge right now and our journey right now to be the light and to experience. And when we are having challenges, we just say to ourselves, you know what? This is my experience. This is my practice to be the light and to keep up my inner strength because soon it's going to be over and it's going to be good. But it's only going to be good if we feel good now in the darkness. And when I had my flood and I didn't know where I was going to live, I did not know where my life is going to go. I remember I heard this phrase, and I hope this gives you light right now, is that the best guarantee to be happy later is to be happy now. The best guarantee. So you just stay happy no matter what happens. You're just like, you know what? I'm just going to be an idiot, a village idiot, be like, okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. But you all know the story, right? About the African king who said that, you know, this is good. Do you know that story? I'm
No.
going to tell this really
Oh,
quick because it's
that
so
was good.
important right now. It's so important. There was an African king and he had a friend, and a friend would always say, this is good, this is good, no matter what happened. And one day they went on a hunting trip. And the king shot off his thumb. And his friend is like, oh, this is good. And the king got so pissed at him. He's like, oh my God, you shot my finger. And you're saying this is good. So he threw him in jail in this dungeon. And then he decided to just, you know what? I don't have this friend anymore. I can go do whatever. And he went hunting with his crew. And they went on the island. They got surrounded by cannibals. And they decided to eat everybody. But they couldn't eat the king because the king didn't have a thumb and they thought it was bad luck to eat somebody without a missing limb. So they let the king go. And the king is like, oh my God, it is good. So he goes to the dungeon, he finds his friend, and he's like, I'm so sorry I put you in this jail. He goes, no, this is good. He goes, what do you mean this is good? He goes, if he didn't put me in the dungeon, I would have been there with you and they would have eaten me. So I always try to think somehow, maybe this is good, and this is for the next 20 days. I hope nothing happens. I hope things are good. But astrologically, it's going to be a lot of fire energy, a lot of explosive energy, energy we've never seen in our lifetime, but similar to the energy of the Berlin Wall coming down, similar to the energy of the war starting, similar energy of a lot of explosive stuff. But even in the darkest of times, there's people who survive and there's people who thrive. And I totally believe, and I know from personal experience, it's the attitude. It's the
I love that.
attitude. And we have to keep being the light, especially when it's dark. It's not just theory. It's not just like, yeah, I'm the light. But when things come crashing, you're in panic mode. We have to keep having the light. So, Cynthia, for you and me, it's just until the 25th. The lesson over for everybody is until the 20th. And then hopefully things will pick up. And those of you who are Gemini, I'm sorry. But this is your lesson. This is your experience. You have to do it. It's once every 84 years we get tested, and it's part of life. So
Yeah.
that's my $2.
I love it. Well, I move on the 21st, so fingers I move
Great.
on again. It's okay. It's okay. It's all good. There's the flow, right? I want to throw it over to Alex because she's at family night and I want her to tell us about her amazing book. Wait, she just clicked off.
This thing
There
she
you
no,
go.
there she
There
is,
you
there she
are.
is.
She's a children's book author and so many things. And hello, bunny. Come join your mom. Yeah, so tell us about you. Talk about this, and we'll go around the whole group. That's what this is. It's girlfriends chatting, girlfriends supporting each other. And I think, you know, the seven of us tonight, it's always perfect because we promote it, we push it out, and we encourage other women to join us with their courage too. So, Alex, take it away.
Thank you so much. Well, we just met. We had a fantastic meeting with John Dudakis at Elaine's, which was beautiful. And, you know, I'm a children's book author. My first book is inspired by my daughter, who's running around behind me reading for family night to start. So, yeah, give me questions.
Well,
What
tell
was
us.
your first book? What was it?
Yes, there you
It's
go.
called Libby the Lunch Buddy.
What is it?
It's called Libby the Lunch Buddy.
Oh, I love it. I
Thank
love it.
you. It's very girly. It's very girly. The boys seem to like it too, but it's mostly for girls ages 5 to 8. So it's inspired by my daughter. It actually started with a picture that I drew for her and put in her lunchbox before kindergarten. And she loved it for some reason. And then it became like a bedtime story. And then it just kept evolving into a book. And that's where my book started. But I've always wanted to write.
I love it. So if that's your first book, do you have more books under production or?
I do. I'm working on a second. And then also, I would ultimately like to write young adult, like horror, kind of like an R.L. Stine female thing. So that's where I'm at right now. There's a whole lot of balls in the air, but I'm having fun.
I love it. I love it. Does your daughter help you write?
Yes and no. She does, but she doesn't know it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I got a lot of inspiration from her, but she doesn't realize it yet.
it does.
Do you ask her opinion? Is she like, do you consult as you do I do this or that, or what's more interesting, or
Yeah,
what would your friends think, or yeah.
I talk to my oldest, my 13-year-old, a lot about some of it. And then my 8-year-old is always my sounding board. Like every time that I change the manuscript a little bit, I read it to her. And she's like, "Mom, I'm so sick of hearing this story."
But Alex, tell us the premise of it because it's really adorable. And just to give some little backstory, so Elaine's Literary Salon is one of the projects that I run with amazing thriller novelist Jeffrey James Higgins. So we bring in authors to talk about their books, and then we have workshops and webinars and seminars for authors to help them along the writer journey. So Alex came in with John Dudakis, he was a CNN reporter, Wolf Blitzer. He's written, I can't even count how many books he's written. And he suffered through profound grief. And he really talked about that, how to become a master writer based on your experiences. When he was 9, there was a terrible train wreck that he was on. His sister committed suicide. His son died of a drug overdose and was gone for 5 days. They found him down the street under a stop sign. I mean, it just, and I said to him, and Cynthia, I want to bring him onto your show and Alex possibly too, because I said, how did you go on? He said, you just do. And I don't know that that's true, but I think it is on fundamental levels, right? So he really talked to the whole group about how to take your pain and turn it into writing.
He is
And
a really inspiring man.
really inspiring.
He
So,
is. He is.
Alex, tell us a little bit about your journey to this book and tell us about the book because the juice of it is really sweet. Like, what? Like, tell us about being the lunch bunny.
I don't want to give all of it away, but it essentially starts with a little girl who has one of the basic fears. She's afraid of her first day of school. She's afraid of eating lunch by herself in the cafeteria. You know, when you go into school, it seems big and scary and you don't know where to sit, and that starts when you're little. So, she's terrified the night before, and she tells her mom, and her mom, instead of kind of like trying to comfort her, she gives her a prompt and she says, "Why don't you just sit down with yourself and gather all of your crayons, all of your things, and draw something that makes you feel comforted, whether it be a picture or a person or a character." And then she draws this character and she goes to bed, and the next day it comes to life. And her whole first day of school, this kind of imaginary person that she manifests is with her. And she's walking her through like her first lunch and meeting her first friend and that kind of thing. And at the end of it, she basically realizes that she had the capability for all of that. She just didn't realize it in the beginning. So she didn't actually need this person at all.
Oh, sweet.
That's
That's wonderful.
awesome.
What a
He should feel comfortable. I never went to one school my entire life more than 1 year.
Oh,
So
wow.
from kindergarten into college, I was in a different school every single year. And it was very normal for me. I mean, you kind of become acclimated, but just imagine that first day of school, not knowing where the lunchroom is. And even when I worked, I said, okay, I got it. I know where the bathroom is. I know where the lunchroom is. I know where these three things are. I can make it through. So beginnings is a huge part of my life experience.
Right. But even as adults, we have these same feelings. Like, I went to a group not that long ago, and it was like this big open room full of really intelligent writers. And I walked in and I was like, "Oh my God, I don't know anyone here. Like, I don't know where to sit. I feel so uncomfortable." But I wrote an entire story based on that.
I think it's great.
Yeah, that's
I think a
amazing.
comment from a different perspective, you'd like me to, but I just was listening to Edgar Cayce. He was a prophet in the 40s and psychic, and many, many predictions that kind of Alina just described in terms of, you had a narrow 10 days, but what's coming into the pike. But he talked about children coming in after the year, this was in 1940, children coming in after the year 2000 and being very different. And I think the imagination piece is so real for me, and just lovely how you use imagination in the book in order to resolve problems, right? Because we know so much imagination is just a profound ability that we have that creates our reality. And
Right.
so, and then I would ask how many people had invisible. I'm coming at this from a different, yeah, but had invisible friends, right? My mom tells me that she couldn't sit down when my brother went away to school. He was a year and a half older. When he went away to school, I had my invisible friend. Maybe she was there before, but I would give tea parties, and my mother, I told her where she could sit. So for me, it was very real. So, but now so the veil is lifting, and part of what I do is I see into this invisible. No, so and children coming in are going to much be more able to experience the gifts that I talk about as just being part of our divine design, our natural gift, of seeing what's there in the invisible. And yeah, so and we can be comforted, by that.
I love this conversation and where we're going in the world, and we're touching on things that just think about that would have been it'd be like those are some crazy women talking about this stuff. And now it's like I want to be with those women who are having these conversations and exploring creativity and intuition and spirituality, whatever that is to you. I think it's so important, and embracing that is, I think, will shape the world. I almost feel like you go through really tough times because it shapes you for the next chapter that we don't even begin to see yet.
I wanted to say something. I heard this and it really pissed me off, and it just touched on this, Cynthia. If a man, like, I don't, I'm, again, I'm not Christian, but like Jesus 2000 years ago performed miracles, it was like, oh my God, miracles. If a woman performed miracles, she was burned at a stake. She was a witch, right? And if a woman wore a long, like, mysterious gown, she was a witch. But Jesus wore a dress and he had long hair. And they were like, cool, let's do this. So it's just like, I am so glad that we're talking about this because it's like way overdue to have women to be respected and seen, because I feel like men are afraid of the power that we as women have with creativity, because literally our bodies are meant to bring in spirits into physical realm. Like, how much more mysterious can that get? They're talking about Jesus making all these miracles, but it's like women are literally creating people. Like literally, not just in theory, and we're not getting the recognition of the power that we have, and we're not giving ourselves the recognition of the power that we have, and we should. And I'm glad that there's women like you who are empowering other women, and Alex with your daughter, like bringing in that new generation of empowerment. It's so important.
Thank you. I talk a lot with my daughters about just like confidence and advocating for yourself. And it's one of those things where you kind of just learn really young and you either learn it or you take years afterwards trying to figure it out for yourself.
Exactly. I love it. I just so love that. I think that's why you're seeing the shift. Have you heard the term trade wife or trad wife? I'm not sure how you say it,
Which
but
called me before.
this movement that women have to slip back into traditional roles and be, and that the evangelical church is trying to tell women that they need to be submissive to their husbands and vote how they say and do what they say, and the man is in charge of the house. And I think that this is grasping when women have become this beautiful birth of women taking leadership roles and speaking out and doing all the things that they're doing. I think people gravitate going towards the old and trying to drag us back, but there will be still women who'll break through and won't go there.
Better be. We all
But
are.
you know what also I think though that the traditional wife, I think what women are craving is not being at home and taking care of, like being the good wife who doesn't have power. I think what women are craving is not being a slave and doing the work that men do because it's exhausting. We can't live on the same level as men because literally we have four different cycles within a month. We don't have the circadian rhythms. We have the infradian rhythm. And so for us, if you're staying at home, at least like you can create your own rhythm and do your own thing. And I think that's women are craving to do things on their own, not necessarily belong to a man who's gonna take charge of everything. I think that's what women really want, to be their own.
Yeah. I want to bring Helen into the conversation. She does this beautiful massage. So we're both massage therapists and we met at the massage therapy conference a couple of weeks ago. And I was fascinated. She and her team, she had two other teammates who do the bone, what is it? Bone
Work. We call it bone
work.
work. You can call it
Yeah.
bone technique, either one.
And it's beautiful, and it's super subtle. So tell us about that, bringing the mind and body and spirit together. But by the way, Helen and her two compatriots, they were all in white. It was like this magical deep breath, and they just really created a beautiful environment for us all to heal in. So let me throw it over to Helen.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for welcoming me to the group. You are already inspiring me, you ladies. So it's lovely to hear connected souls. Hope and I kind of connected immediately when we passed each other in the hallway. So that was inspiring too. So I am a body worker. I've done body work for 31 years, and I love what I do, so I'm going to continue doing it. So I learned about Bowen work through a colleague of mine who was conditioning for the 60-mile breast cancer walk, and she was having issues, and she was in her 50s, you know. So she discovered Bowen work and made it through the breast cancer walk, no problem. I said, sign me up. I'm learning that work. Because I'm always looking for something to deepen the healing for people because I work a lot with chronic pain clients. It's kind of my specialty because I'm a chronic pain gal. So I've gotten better through modalities, and Bowen is by far my favorite. So Bowen works uniquely with the body. So what we're addressing is nervous system, muscle system, and fascia system. So it's so gentle, and it's very specific points along the spine and around joints, but you can work on anybody. I work on 2-week-old babies to 98-year-old plus. So it's so gentle. The body wants to be whole, well, and healthy. It wants homeostasis. And Tom Bowen figured a way into the body to help jumpstart the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, into healing mode, drop it out of sympathetic mode, which is fight and flight, get the parasympathetic mode coming back up so that we can get the healing and all the communication that has stopped or has been hindered since accidents, falls, injuries, what trauma to the body. So it's a reminder to the nervous system that we can get there and to get back to where it was before the injury. That's Bowen work in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Tell us your story because it's pretty traumatic. And I want to also loop back around to Cynthia. So Alina and I do the questions bar. I do the Empower Together business interviews. And a third show that the three of us do is Cynthia's new one called Good Grief. So the way she's coping with Larry's passing is to, like, in traditional Cynthia manner, just to bring joy to pain. And just to bring joy to all of us, she is just a shining light, and I adore Cynthia. So I want to have you guys connect with each other because everyone has been through a serious trauma sitting here in our webinar this evening, at
Yes.
different levels. So Helen, tell us a little bit about your trauma and your healing through the Bowen work.
So I was a horse trainer, horse enthusiast, horse judge, showed, did all that from, 16 to 24. So that was my first career path. I was gonna be a horse trainer, I was gonna teach, and I was gonna do all that. So I was doing that, and a 3-year-old horse that had apparently been broken to saddle and rider had just come back. And I was the first person on her. The owner was standing right next to me because, we weren't sure how she was going to react. She was a calm horse. I wouldn't have gotten on her if she wasn't. So we're walking around the ring. She's getting a little confused. She's not quite sure what we want. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to teach her left is left, right is right, stop means stop, go means go, the basics. And she gets, don't know what happened, but she got confused at the very end, went straight up, and then fell backwards on top of me.
Ooh.
So that's a very severe injury to happen to someone, and you're lucky if you walk away from it. I was very lucky. Was able to walk away. The saddle protected me from getting my pelvis broken, basically. So, but I was young. I was 24, in severe pain, for 10 years, the next 10 years, and got through two babies, two pregnancies. Was a stay-at-home mom and wasn't happy at my previous career path was data processing. So I said, I'm not going back to that. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I want to really enjoy my kids. And I'm going to figure it out when the youngest gets to kindergarten, what I'm going to do. But I got better through chiropractic massage, and cranial sacral. I was drawn to that to try to improve my health. So when the youngest went to kindergarten, I signed up for massage school, and that was my trajectory for the last 31 years. And then once I got Bowen work, it was probably, I'm going to say about 17 years ago, I could feel the very first session my body was realigning internally from the horse fall that had happened. 20 years previously, I could feel my ribs shifting back into place. I could feel the fascia letting go. It was just this incredible healing journey internally that your body holds on to the trauma until it gets a chance to unwind. And that's what it did with just one Bowen session. So I
Wow.
was very, very impressed with the work.
Yeah. And I could attest to it. I'm impressed with it too. I mean, we just did a training, the therapists at this massage therapy conference, and I was just like, all right, sign me up. So I've had two out of three. Helen said, let's do three. So we've done two out of three. And it's not just a physical realignment, it's an emotional one, which
It's
I'm
emotional.
geared for. So grateful to you, Madame. And sign
Thank
up for
you.
number three on Monday. So yeah. So
And
awesome.
I roll it in with the motion code, and that's another whole nother training to release trauma and just pack, the packed emotions that we're not willing to unpack and let it go.
Is it the system you were sharing with me, Hope, when I saw you? And oh, okay, that's really cool.
It's so cool. It's
It's
so
very
exciting.
cool. Does it work on sciatic nerve pain? Ooh. I have really bad sciatica right
I
now.
can do a lot of pelvis balancing, joint balancing, TMJ balancing. It can help. Sciatica is a tricky one because of discs. So as long as your discs are in good shape, it can help for sure.
Yeah, and that's the
I
power
had
of
sciatica. That's what I had
that.
after the horse fell on me for 10 years, and
That
I
is
am
crazy.
pain free. I don't have any more sciatica.
That's amazing. This is a commercial for bone
As long as I don't dig in my garden, I don't have
Yeah.
sciatica. And of course, I love gardening. So, you got to balance it out.
I love it. So I'm going to throw it over to Alpha. Tell us where you are. She is working on, she's an amazing artist. She is writing books. She was a big Hollywood big deal. So talk to us, Alpha. Tell us where you are this month.
Well, as you know, Hope, I've been writing like a crazy person for the last 4 or 5 days straight. Like, I just, because I put like some art showings and whatnot, once they're up and you did your meet the artist thing, then you kind of just like let it go and see what happens. And so I've been just trying to get my book done because I had to rewrite the whole thing. And I've rewritten it now many times, by the way. And part of it was through Jeffrey's. This is how far back he gave me a basic critique of sort of the idea and the tone of voice and all those things about a year. It had to be at least a year and a half ago. And he gave me detailed notes and everything. And then I got my first one-man show, art show, and I was getting two of my friends to help me out because I had to deliver 60 paintings, right, for this show. And, I mean, I had only done like 25 at that point. So I was like, okay, can you help me out? They're like, yeah, no problem. Well, in September, which was a few months before my show, they both flake on me. And I'm like, oh my God. So I spent a good part of last year just, doing art like a crazy person. And now I'm trying to shift over and finally get back to my book. And it's a trilogy. And even though I, worked on a whole range of films, everything from, Marvel to I did Spider-Man and, Hunger Games and I can't even name them all because I did it for 40 years. Okay. So the idea now is when I write, I think the thing that really works for me with the digital media world is that I can actually study what people are writing and I can watch things. Like if a scene is particularly well written, right, I can go back and I can really study it. 'Cause when I first got into the business, it was video cassettes. I mean, do you guys even know what that is? I'm so old. I'm worried when I say it's not a CD. It was before CDs, and people look at me blankly like, what? What about a memory stick? Okay, yeah, you're right. But it I don't know, like I have such a conflicting sense of emotions about the past and the future. I can look back on the past and how the past sort of, it's like they put a diffusion lens on it and it sort of blurs and you can't really remember all the pain and suffering that you went through, right? And then the future is like AI and God knows, aliens and who knows? Like, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, right? The Russians, I don't know. The Chinese, I don't know. We're going to take over Cuba, I don't know, right? So I kind of am, I mean, that's what I'm kind of doing, like I hope I fall into these wormholes, and Jeffrey's like, don't fall into the wormhole, just tell the story. And I'm like, but no, I don't exactly know how that works. And then I look it up and then I'm like, oh, that's how it, and then, okay. So my most craziest thing that is appropriate for what you guys are talking about today, I'm at the gallery. One of the galleries I work with, you have to do 3 hours of, babysitting while, a week, because it's all volunteer except for, like the weekends. And one of the other artists that was manning the gallery with me is a quantum physicist. Okay. Now, I have a tremendous amount of respect for science and people who are smart, and good at science. And so I was like, how in the heck did you end up here with me? Was my first question. But then the second question was, now, can you just tell me, like, in simple terms, exactly, sort of, kind of, what is quantum physics? Okay, here's the part that is very much along the lines of what you all are talking about. And the reason why I'm taking notes is because I want to think about it some more and reflect on it. But the thing about quantum physics is, according to this guy, now I could be totally wrong. Okay, everything is molecules and atoms and electrons, and even though something looks solid, it's actually not solid, right? Okay, so he goes on to say, so the thing about quantum physics is so what, how does that work? Like, and then how do you define like a soul? Like what is a soul? And then is it something that floats around with the atoms and molecules? And, do we reconstitute ourselves on another planet? Like, and then all of a sudden I'm like flashing on Star Trek and every star thing I've ever seen, And then of course, I have to read Hail Mary, and now I want to go see the movie. And right. And oh my God, I think the hard thing about where we are in the world, or at least where I am in the world, is yes, I've been through hideous trauma and et cetera, but I'm really sort of interested in what's going on. Like, don't you guys wonder, like, what is this all? What, like, because like I have a lot of dead parents and things running around. And, sometimes I feel like my mother's presence. Have you ever felt like that? Like, all of a sudden you walk in a room and you're like, oh, are you here today? Kind of thing. Right.
Helpful.
And or you talk to your dog. Like, I talk to my dog all the time. And, my dog, sometimes he'll look at me like he really understood what I just said. Does that ever happen to you? Or is it just me? Am I losing it?
Yeah.
Oh, I
She's so
love
bright.
it. Yeah, no,
I
I know.
mean,
A
go
lot of times.
outside for a walk. Do I need a walk? Like, I mean, I'm sorry. You asked. You asked. So I'm just telling you.
But what
I love
all the
is that
time.
I love that all
Yeah.
seven of us are going through the exact same thing in completely different ways. Right. And
Yeah.
that's the beauty of these conversations and also women in general, because we can be vulnerable and we're willing to come on here on
Yeah.
a podcast and talk about it and share. Right. So to me, that's the beautiful thing. It also takes the loneliness and the fear out of it. Right.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
Because
beautiful. All right.
all of us have faced stuff is what I'm sort of taking away, and
Yeah.
we're all trying to be optimistically moving forward, which I really like that.
Well, I love 10 more days, Alina.
Yeah, Alina, it's going to be rough though. You're going to have to send us a little tickler email or something. Hang in there, girls.
I will tell you something. I'm not a positive person. People will think that I'm a positive person, but I actually like to think of it as powerful thinking, not positive thinking, because positive thinking is like, oh, I know everything's going to be okay, but we don't. There's no guarantee everything's going to be okay. But right now, in this moment, we have two choices, to be positive or to be negative, and we can be powerfully choosing to think positively because it makes us feel good now, and we don't know what's going to happen later. And like I said, the best guarantee to be happy later is to be happy now. So it's not like positive that I think everything's going to be okay, but I choose to think that because that's how it can be okay, which ties into quantum physics. Because when we talk about quantum physics, it's the invisible, what we cannot see. But like what you said about your mom being there, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It only changes form. So your mom never left, right? It's just different realm. We cannot see it. Quantum means it can happen right here and it can happen on the other side of the universe at the exact same time. And there have been many studies where they say that the observer is changing the observed by just energy that we cannot see. And I'm teaching a class tomorrow to these kids, and I'm going to start it out at like, do you believe in Wi-Fi? No, you don't believe in Wi-Fi because you have this little guy and you can put a little password and get a little number and it connects. Well, I think it's the same for energy. I think it's the same for everything. I think it's the same for the future. There is a code that there are so many different futures that are available to us, but we have to put the right passcode and take the right energy, experience the right energy right now to get access to that timeline. And I had a little, maybe not miracle for other people, but it was for me when the Cheeto in charge posted something, I'm going to kill the entire civilization. I was like, I'm not giving him my energy. I'm not even going there. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm just like, I'm going to ignore. He doesn't exist in my universe. And within a few hours, he's like, I changed my mind, whatever bullshit. But I don't know. Did I affect that in my reality? Maybe there's another Lena living in another wave, another place where she's scared and she's miserable and something bad is happening. I don't know. But the
Sometimes I think about, if you think about time, how long it takes light to travel, And right now, light is hitting a planet somewhere far away that has dinosaurs on it. And when you go through the trauma I'm experiencing, losing the beloved, my most beloved person in my life, and I think, well, the light right now is just getting to a planet the day Larry and I met. But oh, that's a reality that exists right now. And so somebody is looking at our Earth, and I am meeting Larry for the first time. And I just have, I'm looking for small miracles in our house. When you live in the ceilings are like 12 feet, 14 feet, they're very, very high here. And I was doing dishes, and I always said, send me something, Larry. I talk to him all the time. I said, I'm not going to. I said, I'm going to talk to him. I heard myself on the Ring doorbell. Honey, I'm home. That's okay. I just feel like I need to have that connection. But there was like one tiny, tiny bubble that just came from the soap. And I said, if you're here, and it rose up. And I said, I'm not going to stop looking at it. And it went way, way, way up. And our ceilings are very, very high. And I have big arches. I can kind of turn this so you kind of see, you know, just how it is here. So it's huge ceilings. And I said, I'm going to follow the bubble. And if it's him, I'll know. And as I followed the bubble, and it went way up over the sink, and then it crossed the kitchen and came down to the living room, which is where I have a book of him that somebody sent me of travels we had done together. And it landed on the palm of my hand. And I knew he was there.
Of course,
Yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
for
that would
sure.
be him. And then today I was outside working, and I saw a white butterfly, just a tiny one. And it was just some flowers are starting to come out. And then another white butterfly came, and they both danced together. And then one flew away. So I said, I think that's a sign, but I'll take it as a sign. So.
And it's all here. They're still here. And somebody told me because they're all energy, and this is all energy, they come through the phone a lot. So you can ask him, like, my father, he just passed. He called my mom. Like, the picture just showed up. It was the most weirdest thing. We've had some weird things happening, but they play with lights and they play with energy.
I
So, but it's
have
all
so,
here.
yeah. Somebody, I read that somebody wrote that from the death, they said, I'm not dead. I'm not gone. I have become part of your soul. So my soul is now with your soul. And I think that's just such a beautiful. And these two girls knew my husband. He was just an extraordinary man. He just was just this one in a lifetime kind of people, you know. So.
For your loss.
Yeah, it's been, but would you, the question you always say is as much pain as you have. And somebody said, okay, at the end of this amazing love of your life, you're going to be in extraordinary pain. You're going to have sorrow like you've never experienced before. And this is my fifth estate. So I have had a number of journeys where people have died in my family. And I said, would I do it again? And I would do it again. Even sitting here at this moment, experiencing pain. And I'm sharing my story because I'm learning so much now about grief that I never knew, you know, because it's one word, but under that are thousands of words. And, you know, it's kind of like you get to see an iceberg and you see the top, you know, the pain or the anguish, the sorrow, the regret, or whatever. But underneath that is anger, anxiety, frustration, fear, loathing, regret, no regret, you know, joy. There's just a million things. And I wrote good grief because everybody goes, how you doing? I go, hanging in there. And I go, I have no idea how I'm doing. And my daughter said something really interesting to me because we've been going through a lot in our family. And she's also a Taurus. And she was telling somebody, it's been so much we've been going through. She says, you know, it's like I brush my teeth and I don't know who I am. So now when we brush our teeth, like, good morning, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to brush your teeth. So that's kind of what the journey's like.
It's amazing.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, Paula.
No, it's interesting, Cynthia, because you were beginning with the the structures in your home, kind of being redone. Now that just and that's what happens, I feel, also inside of us with grief. Like inside of us, our identity is being reshaped. And the biggest, the element that is most related to grief, I feel, is water, right? So when you mentioned your pool, you da da da, and the water and window so it's from my world view, studying shamanic energy medicine, and then I went off and studied quantum physics, and I've put it together into this program. Anybody who wants to be able to see energy, come join me. But
I would
from
love
that,
that. Yes, I would love
from that view, inside outside matches, no? So what's going on inside yourself is being mirrored to you in your home. And so as you're tending to yourself and your emotional world, and you're also tending to, your home. And I've done quite a bit with grief, and I love the a West African tradition of where they would take a peel, a piece off of bark off of a tree, and then wear it as a necklace, wear it as a bracelet. And as the tree healed, it was a metaphor for the healing of the grief. It was a symbol for others and to know that the person had a significant loss, but also how nature and butterfly, how you referred to, nature is a mirror to us, or as a mirror, but also it's they communicate, nature communicate, we are of nature. So in a way it's that way, it's a mirror, but it's also we are in communication always, like with nature. And so the butterfly, and I've seen many, many disincarnate beings. I've served as a medium for many people, and I don't believe there's afterlife. I just, like, I know, I went beyond believing to, I have no doubt. I've just seen too many people, and the beauty of that believing and knowing is that it then you experience it as you experience with the butterflies. And then once you begin experiencing it, then you I think it changes. It just changes every the how you the entire view of the world. I think
yeah,
there's
I want to
nothing
look at
more
this.
profound than knowing that life lives on. Our deepest, darkest fear is death. And Christianity, most religions have done it wrong, right? So it's creating a lot of fear around death. And it's a form of control and all kinds of things we could talk about. But then when we can know that we transcend it, that we never die, the energy, as Alina was saying, just never dies. So where does it go? And it's a bit of a mystery how we live on, but the soul, the energy of the body leaves the body. Yeah, the same way we came into a body, we leave the body and live again. And resurrection, reincarnation. I did a study. I'm doing putting all this together for young people, but I'm teaching adults along the way. But when you list all the different possible religious and spiritual traditions, there's just every there's re reincarnation is part of all of them, other than for Muslims and now our current Christian belief. But the early fathers in Christianity, the Gnostics, it was just known. It was just part of the belief, understanding of life. And Jesus's story in itself, because he came back, right? He lived and people saw him and interacted with him for several days. So blessings to you for the grief though, and the loss, and the power that comes, I think, through women to share their story in a powerful way, that you're going to do a lot of healing with by sharing your story and being able to be vulnerable in that way.
Yeah.
So,
It's something you want to do and not want to do, but I do because I think we learn from it. Because it's one of the most powerful emotions you ever go through. Just, that you have that experience. And if eventually we will all hit grief. Maybe not the it's not gonna be the same as mine or anything else. It was just so weird. I've really said this year I'm taking a break. I'm not I'm kind of not going to any of the organizational stuff I used to do. I'm just stopping for a year to heal because I don't want to not heal. I feel like if you fill your bucket with a lot of busy stuff, you're not going to focus on what really needs to be touched and felt and loved and nurtured or whatever else. But the girl who built my pool, who's become a really good friend, and she met another client who she brought over to show her my pool. And then she said, I want you to come to my house. So I thought we were just the two of us were going to go to our house. And we went, and she had two other friends there. And the conversation was about grief. And the woman who hosted us, she lost her father at 90, never married, cared for him. One lost her husband who had pancreatic cancer. He died within just a couple months of the diagnosis. Another woman, she lost her son when he was 2 years old. And then when the woman who built my pool lost her parents. So those were deep grief. And it was just, we just talked about that experience and just how each one were so deep and moving. And each were at a different point. She lost her son 34 years ago, but it's still relevant. I mean, she still honors his life at two. You know, she has things she's kept of his, and should she or not. And, you know, the other one lost her husband 13 years ago. So it was having that opportunity to talk about it. We didn't talk about anything else but just the experience of grief. And it was really, really interesting just hearing people's stories.
Beautiful.
I'd love to know more what you're doing. I want to sit down and talk to you, Paul. I want to follow up with you because I think that's really
Yeah,
interesting.
Bill, I'd love to. I lost my daughter when she was 12, and I divorced that year and lost my home because of finances. I just needed to reorganize. And then the minister moved from and got promoted and left the church. And then my boss got cancer. And I ended up in charge of this major training program at the medical school. And maybe that saved my sanity. But it does come. And I feel that these waves, if, now the other day it came through me. We'll have a conversation. I'd love to talk to you about it. But that grief lives through us. It's almost like grief has its own entity. Like it's an energy in and of itself, and it lives through us. It lives forever within us. You know, it's always, my daughter's always there. There's also always an aspect of loss that's there. And helping people kind of digest and integrate that loss is beautiful work. And I think talking about it is key. Is really key important.
This has
I would love
been,
to.
yeah. Well, this is what these conversations are for, to be honest with ourselves, with each other. Know that I keep saying this, we're not going through this but alone, you know, even though we think we are. You know, I think we all can have a memory of something that just is still stuck in us that we can't get out, right?
Definitely,
But
definitely.
talking about it, knowing that we're not unique or alone in this. And I think that's really important. And that's, to me, what being empowered together is. And that is the perfect conversation for tonight. I can't thank you all enough for being here. It's really magical. And we'll produce this so other people can join us in this conversation, ask questions, connect each other. That's the whole point. We're going for quality, not quantity. And whoever wants to join is more than welcome. So thank you all. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Alina. Thank you, Alpha. Thank you, Helen. And thank you,
Thank
Paula, for
you.
the wisdom.
Just
Yeah.
fabulous,
Come back
everybody.
again next month.
Wonderful.
We'll see if we can bring Kristen back. We'll try and work out the time in Norway.
Yes. That
Thank
would be
you, everyone.
awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
Hope for a
Thank
good
you.
Thank
Back.
you.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Stay well.
Thank
We'll see you
you.
again
Thank
next month
you.
on the Empowered
Okay.
Together show. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, thrilled to be here with you all. Be well.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.